So this week we're going to hear more excerpts from our evening of the RSC's Lost Works, which we recorded a couple of weeks ago as part of the Reston Extravaganza. But if you follow us on Twitter, you'll know that last week our UK tour of the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged, Revised, hit a bit of a personnel snag that required some extremely last-minute replacements. So here now to tell us all about what happened, direct from Lincoln in Lincolnshire, I guess, is our UK producer and general dog's body, Ginger Daveski, Davey Naylor. Davey?
Hi, thanks, Austin. This is Davey Naylor here in the UK. Yes, and we're here in Lincoln at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, ready to do the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged, Revised. And I'd like you to introduce all your listeners, all your podcast listeners, to an old Reduced Shakespeare Company friend.
Hello, my name is John Schwab, and believe it or not, tonight I will be playing the role of Hamlet.
How long have you had to prepare to doing Hamlet?
I've had, I think, just over 24 hours. But saying that, I had 12 hours of sleep last night. I had about 8 of those remaining hours bricking myself, 2 hours in a train journey, and then 2 hours on stage with Will and Dave. So I've had about 2 hours rehearsal.
Yes, this unfortunate set of circumstances came about yesterday afternoon. First of all, after our show in Cambridge on Thursday, Simon Cole, who was performing in that show, had a very, very dodgy voice. Friday afternoon, I got a phone call saying that, I thought it was Simon. It sounded like someone, you know, on a respirator or something. He sounded like Darth Vader at one point. He sounded a bit Dalek-y, yes. Unfortunately, he couldn't do the show because he has a bad bout of laryngitis. But don't worry, because we've got young David Ellis, who came to did the show with us 2 weeks ago for the first time with the Shakespeare Show. He worked with us on the Bible tour earlier this year. So David came along. He was ready to go. He was absolutely very happy to do that. No more than an hour later, do I get a phone call from Gary Fannin.
I take no I have to take full responsibility. Okay, now look. Okay, let me just wait a minute. Okay, let me defend myself. Okay,
Gary,
what did you do? Where did you go? And what did you do?
Let me preface this. I'm getting old. Okay, right. See, I'm 45 years old now. I was in Texas recently, so I've put on weight, and so I'm trying to like better myself. See,
this is an excuse.
Yes, it's totally. This is all part of the excuse. It's part of the story. So I've been trying to like improve my health. So I recently joined a gym. I basically had a spasm in my neck and I couldn't turn my head. In fact, my head was stuck looking extremely far to the left and I couldn't turn it forward.
So here we were with two men down and I had no other alternative but to call a very wily veteran in John Schwab, who hasn't done the show for
6 or 7 years, I think.
And it hasn't changed that much at all, has it? I mean, it's only been revised once, twice, four times.
That's it. I mean, the scariest bit was going back in, and because these boys have learned a show one way, and then having to go back in and put in the new bits and pieces, because I did it at the Arts, the revised version, but it's changed since then as well. So It's remembering those. My brain's default position is the Criterion show that I did, because I did that one so many times, as Green, especially. So coming back to this and doing Black in the revised show, which I only performed, I must say, maybe handful 15, maybe. It's interesting. But listen, it's been good. I think fear, the older you get, and the less I've been drinking, I tend to remember things a bit more.
Well, thankfully, Gary is here. He's showing moral support. He can't move his head at all, but, I mean, at least he'll be here in the wings shouting, no, yeah. No, that's wrong, that's wrong. I'd like to also introduce you to another new member of the team. This is?
Bryony.
And your job is?
ASM Andressa.
This is Bryony. She is brand new. She has done one show. So, on stage tonight at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, there will be only one person on the stage that has done this show more than 3 times. And that is world record-breaking...
William Meredith.
Yes. So, if you're in the Lincoln area and you want to come down and see a car crash, please do. It's going to be a lots of fun. Anyway, back to you, Austin.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's special live edition of the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, RSE's Lost Works. Now we're getting into a section where we ask, these are genuinely lost works. And by that we mean these bits we've cut because it wasn't funny or...
Originally we thought this evening might be, well, let's just do all the bits that we've cut out of the shows that nobody's seen. And then we started to look at that and go, you know, we cut those out of the show for a reason. I think that's not going to be a very amusing evening.
No, yes. And also we couldn't find them. I mean, it was God knows where some of this stuff is. You know, the Mayflower Compact
the,
joke.
In the America show... Yeah, we had this hilarious joke. I know, we'll come out as pilgrims, and I'll hold a women's, you know, powder and mirror, and say, what's that, the Mayflower Compact? And that was much bigger response than
that response.
It was chirp, 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 and I took the compact and chucked it. This was our final dress in front of an audience, and I chucked it into the wind and said, well, you're the only audience that will ever see that joke.
Yeah.
You guys are now kind of the second, you know, 20 years later.
Well, and in the comedy show, if you saw the comedy show the other night, Reed has a line talking about double acts.
Yeah, chapter 11 describes the dynamics of the double act thusly. In comedy double, straight man does set up, stooge delivers punchline. Straight men were considered more valuable and actually paid more than their comic partners. Then, as now, in the theater, it's almost impossible to find a straight man.
Yeah.
And see, now that got a good laugh in context.
Yeah, in context, that gets a great laugh. But then we had another scene about me coming on and only hearing the tail end of that, and then talking about Laurel and Hardy, and me thinking that Reed is making the argument that Laurel and Hardy are gay.
Well, we're saying, you know, most comedy duos have a straight man and a goof.
And
then I say, well, of course, neither Laurel and Hardy, neither of them was straight.
Right, and that's
and
the
then,
part
and then
I hear.
Austin comes in and that, he misunderstands what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and then it was, you know, it was just four or five more, you know, gay jokes, basically. And none of which were as funny as the one you had already said.
Yes, so long gone. Now, in rehearsing all these shows over the past couple of weeks, it's funny how the shows, we continue to polish and tighten and nip and tuck and make changes over the years. And yet, some little bits from that maybe we performed for 2 or 3 weeks back when the shows premiered 20 or 15 or 10 years ago, just sometimes just pop into our heads. So there's the America show, there's a thing just, that's code, right? That's code for something.
Yeah, you give us some bad news. We get a message from our orders from the front office, and that we're here on the front lines. And
yeah, and your sector surrounded and unable to send reinforcements. Have a nice day.
Well, that's code, right? That's got to be code for something, right?
Yeah, it's code for we're hosed.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, and again,
that's the laugh it got. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So we cut it. We cut it 12 years ago, 15 years ago. But every time we get to that moment, I go, nope, we cut that line. Go
to
the
next line.
We get
it in our heads, and sometimes it comes out.
Yeah, speaking of lost works... it's an evening of lost works. We also have a few lost jerks. Matt Croak. Yay, so Matt Croak fans in the house tonight.
Thank you, all three of you. Yes.
Yeah. Matt Croak is going to be performing, recreating the role that he created in All the Great Books Abridged Saturday night. And he was driving here today in a... I think it's all good, this is what, but I'm going to call him. I'm going to call him right now, and we're going to see how it's... He was driving in a van, a 12-seat passenger van with his
wife, their six daughters, and Matt's mother.
And Matt's mother.
It was a van lacking many Y chromosomes.
Yeah. So,
if he answers, we're going to be grateful.
I hope he's here. You have to say hi, Matt Croak, when I cue you, all right? If he answers.
I'm not optimistic all of a sudden.
Hello?
Matt Croak, is that you?
It is me.
Well, say hi. We've got an audience full of people here at the Reston Community Center. Say hi to Matt Croak, everybody.
Hi, Matt Croak!
Hi, Raleigh, North Carolina.
No! No!
You've gone too far.
You've gone too far. Turn around. You've gone too far south.
No, I've only driven 16 hours. I got North Carolina right here. This is where I'm going.
I didn't understand any of that. What did you say? Where are you? Are you? How is the driving? Are you okay? Are you here? Are you close?
We are close. We are driving right now. We're near Hagerstown. Is that... we are very close.
Okay. It's an hour and a half away. Okay, Hagerstown, apparently. Jesus, don't say that to any of the locals. How has it been so far? You're in a car with your entire... You've totally forgotten the best part about touring is that you get to leave your family at home.
I know, I just thought maybe I can get some more free fruit plates at the theater. We don't need of us. I can take a bunch of melon.
That's true. They do feed us very well here at the Reston Center. So, yes, you could probably take a lot of food home. Anything else?
Are you guys doing the Lost Works? Have you covered Portland Town yet?
Portland Town? No, we haven't covered Portland Town. You're right. We'll cover Portland Town in a second. I'll let you get back to your driving. What time do you want to rehearse tomorrow? 10 o'clock? Is 10 o'clock in the morning okay?
What's that?
Never mind. We'll text you later.
All right. Talk to you.
All right. Say bye.
Bye.
Matt Croak.
Matt Croak,
ladies
and gentlemen. Portland Town.
Hey, it's Bob Goen.
And I'm Marianne Caran from Bob and Marianne Radio.
At Warm 98. And you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? It's a busy month of October 2014. Our UK tour of the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged Revised continues until November 20th. We'll also perform the complete history of comedy abridged in Queens, New York, Clovis, and Socorro, New Mexico. And we'll make our debut in mainland China with the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged Revised at the Wuxian Festival. Then in November, we'll be in St. Louis, Missouri, and begin our month-long run of the complete history of comedy abridged at the Marin Theater Company in Mill Valley, California, and will perform the ultimate Christmas show abridged in Illinois and Maryland in December. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information. And now back to our live recording from the Reston Community Center's Complete Works of the Reduced Shakespeare Company Abridged Extravaganza. We were just explaining about the mysterious Portland Town that was mentioned by Matt Croak.
It opened Act Two of the America show.
Very earnest, a folk song. I was born in Portland Town.
Yeah.
I went through the whole thing. It was very serious, and we got to the end, and the audience went,
"Yeah,
just like that."
Yes. And we had to, that was one of those things where that stayed in way too long in the show. We've gotten better over the years of cutting things. Because things are less precious to us now,
yes,
than they were.
Yes.
One of our most fun, cool projects was a thing called...
First Sign of Leprosy.
Yeah. Everybody's going to go home and check themselves tonight. You watch. And Google leprosy. One of the most fun projects we were ever able to do was shoot a reduced Wagner's epic Ring cycle.
16 hour operas, four
whole operas, 16 hours of opera down into a 22-minute film for Channel 4 in England. And I'm just too unorganized to get it up on YouTube. There's some question about who has the rights to it, but it's been a long time now, so who cares? But we filmed it in 1994, and I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
I think so.
Let's just go ahead and roll it, Garrett. The Ring Reduced.
Rheingold! Oh no! It's Alberic!
I snatched the gold from the crag. I forged the avenging ring. Thus do I curse love. Now I can do anything.
Can you make yourself tiny and small? So small that you are the size of a very small thing that could hide in a crag, like, for instance, a toad. That's not a toad.
Oh, toad! I thought you said toad!
Seize hold of him quickly!
Overflucked, I am caught!
have this wall of gold. But not even for the world would I give up the ring.
Give it to them.
I will not give up the ring.
Give them the ring!
Oh, all right.
Mine is the ring.
No, the ring is mine.
Mine is the ring.
No, the doggone ring is mine.
Follow me, wife, dwell with me in Valhalla. They are hastening to their end. Oh, they think they are so great.
That was really fun. I hope it was fun for you, but it was really fun for her. Adam's wife, Alex, always wanted us to do more musicals.
Yep.
Which is why there's as many, because this was done, God, after America?
Before? Yes. After America and before Bible.
And before Bible. I think it was one of the things that made us decide to put more songs into the Bible.
Yep.
And then, in another brilliant segue on my part, we then decided after Bible, hey, we wrote a few songs for the Bible. Let's write a musical.
So we wrote the complete Millennium Musical Abridged for the turn of the millennium in 1999.
And I think it legitimately qualifies now as a lost work because we're probably never, ever going to perform it again.
Yeah, I don't think we've done it since 2000. But just for you guys tonight,
yeah,
you might get a little flavor of a couple of bits of it.
Yeah. So we have with us, joining Reed and myself, is our third original cast member for the complete Millennium Musical Abridged, D. Ryan. Please welcome D. Ryan. Hey.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm an actual woman. It's real.
What a concept.
I know.
Well, they always ask, how come there are no women in the Reduced Shakespeare Company?
How come there are no men in the Supremes? That's our answer. Yes.
I wrote it for all those ladies.
Nicely done.
Yes.
Well done. When we wrote it, the guy who wrote the music for the Millennium Musicals, Nick Graham, who wrote the jaunty music for the radio show. And so we got together and write these songs. And one of the reasons I think we will never tour again, aside from the fact that the 1,000 years of world history is over, but... It became less reduced, strangely. We weren't able to tour with a live musician. And so
So we did it to backing tracks, and that kind of, you know, limits our freewheeling ways.
Yeah, you never kind of get the sense that there's a danger of the whole thing going off track, the whole show, which I think is sort of integral to how our shows work. But there is some really fun stuff in it, and we've been debating on which scenes and songs to do. But since Dee is here, we're going to do this one.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is one of my favorite...
Okay, you can tell people that the only reason I'm in the show is because I'm your wife. That's why you keep looking at me like that.
No, that's not
yeah, it's really demeaning.
You see why I'm going to play that applause later.
Incredibly demeaning.
In the bedroom.
Don't you think,
because
don't you agree?
Why are there no women in the Reduced Shakespeare Company?
Why are there no women?
I don't know.
I mean, there's already enough sexual tension with just the guys.
I know. Yeah, Austin and me, the relationship's like a marriage without the sex.
Well.
At one time.
But except
anyway,
for the once, yeah. Anyway, this is a scene where we were talking about Joan of Arc, and Joan is discovered praying to Saint Michael.
Saint Michael, my troops have lifted the 8-month siege at Orléans and crowned the Dauphin.
She hears a voice. You have done well, Joan.
But he insists we fall back and not pursue our advantage. I tell him we must fight on, but he won't listen.
Have you told him the voices commanded?
When I told him about the voices, he said I was insane.
No!
Oui. Even though my voices and leadership have beaten the English, there are some who speak of witchcraft and heresy.
Excuse me, Joan. Joan?
Oui?
Hi, am I on the air?
Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, this is Bob from Bordeaux. I just want to say, I think I agree with the Dauphin. You're nuts.
There is nothing to be afraid of, boob. Only I can hear the voices.
Well, that's my problem. Why don't these voices speak to anybody else?
Joan, could I take that one?
Go ahead, St. Michael.
Bub, I know you seek validation, but you must have faith.
The Lord works in mysterious ways, Bub. We don't have his divine wisdom.
But God gave us brains. He gave us intelligence.
I have faith. I don't need intelligence. Thanks for the call. Hi. If you're just joining us, I am Joan of Arc, and here in my head with me tonight is St. Michael. Thanks for sitting in, St. Michael.
My pleasure, Joan.
Oh, what about a Notre Dame?
Quarterback's so-so, but the hunchback's great.
Hello, I'm Joan of Arc, and I'm hearing voices. Next caller, you're in my head. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Michael of the Marseille Militia. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, very good.
Joan, I have a sort of tactical question for you, which is, where do you keep your armies?
In my sleeves. I love that joke! Let's go to weather with René Days. Bonjour, René.
Bonjour, Joan. This is René Days with your wacky French weather. The forecast for this week is overcast. Attendance at Euro Disney will be down, down, down. But the personal forecast for you, Joan, things for you will be hot, hot, hot. This is René Days signing off.
I said, Michael, do you understand what he is talking about?
Actually, yes, because I discussed this at length in my new book, When Bad Things Happen to 17-Year-Old French Virgins. Suppose, purely hypothetically, a 17-year-old girl saved her country and then ended up getting burned at the stake.
Merde. So I guess the question really is, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? Although it's hard to understand the how and when and why, God has got a master plan and some will die. So if you feel without worth, like a weed that's been weeded, you didn't make the earth or the universe, he did!
Blame it on the Lord!
When you and your family get put to the sword,
blame it on the Lord!
When you go too soon to your final reward, you've got to praise the Lord for the good he can do. But he should take the rap for the bad crap too! Blame him if you're beat and you can't roll a seven! If you can't take the heat, he oughta get out of heaven!
Blame it on the Lord!
When all of your prayers go completely ignored!
Blame it on the Lord!
When crossing the street, you get hit by a Ford! Can I get someone to testify?
John Lennon is dead and Charlie Sheen's alive!
Blame it!
Toupee.
Blame it.
You all pay good money to see this.
Blame it.
Praise the Lord for the good he can do, but he should take the rap for the bad crap too.
Why does evil happen? We haven't got a clue.
Why was I a virgin till I was 32?
Why will she become a medieval barbecue?
Because a god has gotta do what a god has got to do.
Blame it on the Lord.
When a gaggle of Mormons appears at your door,
blame it on the Lord.
Sports song. For the sports show, I actually wanted to write. I was thinking I would write a scene in the sports show about a football game where the winning team is in the locker room and talk about, well, I want to thank the Lord for everything He does, because without God there's nothing is possible, and then go to the losing locker room and have the guys in the losing locker room singing this song.
One of the things about this was I got a call on the day of the millennium that the woman,
on New Year's Day 2000
the woman that replaced me, because I was 7.5 months pregnant, was sick. And I was in Los Angeles, and I should fly up to Seattle and do the show. And I remember thinking, that's crazy. No one asks a 7.5 month pregnant woman to fly up to Seattle to do a show. But then later in the afternoon, you called me, and I went up there, and I was huge. I was out to here.
It was the strangest 17-year-old virgin we'd ever seen.
And the audience was so confused.
It was... I went up because then we had Quincy, and we flew up on the Monday, and we saw the show on the Tuesday, because you still had the show on the Tuesday night. And she comes out and she's wildly, hugely pregnant in the opening scene, and you just go, and by the end of the show, you go, this is like a bit that doesn't pay off.
Yeah, like.
They're going, why did they decide to make her pregnant?
Yeah,
that's
why
weird.
Why is she pregnant?
That's so strange.
Yeah, and I went out in the audience at one point as Torquemada and sat on people's laps, and I was just like,
you crushed that guy. what was the bit? There was talk about a lost work. There was actually a joke in the Joan of Arc scene.
Oh, the Dauphin scene.
The Dauphin, yeah.
Which I had forgotten, but he was reminding me this
because
afternoon.
I loved it so much, but we cut it. Was somebody else calls in, and I say, next caller? Oh, it is the Dauphin. Oh, he is warning me of his evil purposes.
Yes, a standing ovation, really, is what that joke... It just...
A dolphin's tail.
So it got cut.
Yeah, but why was that cut and not half the other things? That's what I'm
angry
about.
D. Ryan, ladies and gentlemen.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your lost works via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews of this podcast on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, still on the road with his family, Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Ness Aiton. Rowena. I'm amazed that she's never been a random fan shout-out until this moment. No reason. It is just random. Special thanks to Bob Goen and Marianne Curran from Warm 98 in Cincinnati, Ohio. This is now the second time Marianne and D. Ryan have appeared together on the same recording, the first being Landscaper's Challenge on HGTV.
Thank you so much for coming out tonight. Thank you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener.
I'm Reed Martin.
I'm Dominic Conti.
I'm Michael Faulkner.
I'm D. Ryan.
I'm Mick Orff.
I'm Brent Tubbs.
And we are 7/3 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Thank you very much. Good night.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.